Reprint 30, Zion's Watchtower, September 1879. Our Calling. Very few seem to realize the value of the Christian's hope and calling. If they did, there would be less clinging to the lower blessings even of animal life, and less cause for the use of the hymn, "Look how we grovel here below, fond of these earthly toys, our souls how heavily they grow, to reach eternal joys." Perhaps the emphasis the Bible lays upon our calling cannot be shown better than by reference to the unity of the Christian with Christ. This is taught in many ways. The vine and its branches, John chapter 15, is a beautiful illustration of the fellowship with Christ. In the figure of a house, the foundation and living stones express a similar thought. The head and other members of our body give the same general idea. The endearing term wife is given to the church, and they too shall be one lays stress upon the truth we are teaching. Brethren beloved, have you ever realized the fullness of this fellowship, and that fellowship with Him is the basis of our fellowship one with another? The manifestation and evidence of this divine unity is love for the brethren. We are too apt to think of ourselves in the relation of servants of Christ, instead of the nearer and dearer of brethren and friends. The service of these is the service of love. The exalted relation of the Christian secures him a share in all the promises made to Christ. In relation, we are sons of God, and Christ is our elder brother, the firstborn from the dead. This, of course, relates to the new life by resurrection, and to our present life as possessing the hope of the glory of God. The Son is not the Father, but in an important sense, one with the Father. "I and my Father are one" cannot mean one in person, but in fellowship, the unity of the Spirit, and hence Christ prays for believers, that they all may be one, "as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." John chapter 17, verses 21 and 22. This is the doctrine we inculcate in a nutshell. We are not speaking here of the mysterious doctrine of incarnation, but of the equally mysterious and important doctrine of exaltation. It was that we might go up and share His glory, that He came down and He went up as our forerunner and security. Is He heir of God of all things? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. So are we, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If we have fellowship in His sufferings and are made conformable unto His death as a willing sacrifice, we will have fellowship in His glory. Compare Philippians chapter 3, verses 10, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. As His victory was by the cross, so we must take the thorny road and overcome. Is He to come in glory? We also shall appear with Him in glory, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Is He to have dominions and glory and a kingdom that all nations should serve Him? Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. The same is given to the saints, verse 27. Is He to rule all nations? Psalm 2. He says, "To him that overcometh will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them, even as I received of my Father." Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. Is He both king and priest? The new song is, "Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Certainly the crown, throne, and reign mean far more in the Christian hope than many suppose. To be a king can mean no less than to exercise authority, and priest certainly implies the ministration of mercy. Were there no other reasons for it, we might from this know that the nations are to be ruled for the purpose of blessing them, and that even the dashing in pieces in judgment is that men may learn righteousness. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. His sufferings and temptations prepared him to be able to succor the tempted. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. So too, the thorny road they have walked, who are gathered out of every nation as members of the Christ of God, may serve to teach them how to sympathize with humanity in the struggle of life. Christ Jesus himself does not reach all humanity, but he will, through his many members, finish what he has undertaken, and by bringing God to man, bring man to God. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. So also, the saints shall judge the world. To judge is in one sense to rule. The judges of Israel were its rulers. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. The world shall have what as yet they know not, a righteous government, in which the right will be duly appreciated and rewarded, and sin shall not go unpunished. The unity of Christ and the Church secures her a share in all his work. Surely our calling is high indeed. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful, etc. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Let his faithfulness encourage our hearts in all our weary work, and his success be the assurance of our rich reward. That was written by J. H. Payton. That was reprint 30, Our Calling.